If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open to John chapter 1 today. John chapter 1 is where I'm going to be speaking from God's Word today. And before I begin sharing, Emily Oldfield, would you stand up for a moment, please? Don't know if you know Emily. This is Emily. Many of you know Emily. I just wanted to make reference to Emily because in about 10 days, she's going to be going to YWAM. I mentioned this a number of months ago, and it's reality happening, and some of you might not be here next Sunday, and or you may not see Emily. And so be praying for Emily as she goes to Oregon, and 6 months, YWAM, 8 months, 15 years, whatever. The initial is 6 months, is it not? Okay, so I just want to reference that, and so be praying for Emily. I'm just going to do that right now. YWAM, I don't know if you know what YWAM is, Youth with a Mission. That means she's going to be serving the Lord, and so we just want to pray for her today. Thank you, God, for Emily. Help her as she goes to YWAM. Give her of your strength and help everything all to come together as it already has. And so we send her with your blessing, and I just pray that you would do a mighty and a powerful work in and through her, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Emily. John chapter 1, verse 14. The title of the message today is called The Graceful Jesus. We've been going through a series called Bringing Christ into Christmas, and well, the first message was the guy, Jesus. And we talked about what it meant that Jesus came as a son, as a babe in the flesh. And then we talked about John 1, verse 8, the glowing Jesus, that Jesus is the light. And hopefully you went home with a little candle, and maybe that's somewhere that you can still remember that Jesus is the light, and now Jesus shines through us. In John chapter 1, verse 14, we talked about the glorious Jesus. We have seen his glory. That's an important and wonderful phrase in John chapter 1, verse 14. I hope you were able to see Jesus' glory all this last week. Today, I'm going to be talking about the graceful Jesus. And then on Christmas Eve, I'm going to be talking about the giving Jesus. John 1:16 says, we have all received one blessing after another. And I'm just going to talk about the blessings that we have received. Many of us have had a number of blessings this last year, and what a blessing it is that we have Jesus in our heart and our life. Today, we're going to be talking about the graceful Jesus. What does it mean that Jesus is full of grace? Join me in the scripture, John chapter 1. I'm just going to be reading one verse right now. I will have some verses a little later on. Here's what John 1:14 says. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The first thing I want you to see is Jesus is full of grace. Now, the reason that I want the word full to be capitalized is I just want you to know that Jesus is full. He's not empty. And if you look in the definition of what full means, it means containing or holding as much or as many as possible, having no empty space, not lacking or omitting anything, complete. Jesus is full of grace. You want to be on the full side of things rather than on the empty side of things when it comes to your fuel gauge. If you are traveling over the Christmas holidays, you don't want to have the big E, you want the big F. If you have the big E, then you have to call somebody or hope that something happens. Or if you have kids, send them a mile down the road to the gas station. When you sit down at your Christmas dinner, you are going to get full. Maybe even some of you will get more than full. When you're at an event and there's no room in which to sit, we say this is standing room only, and we say the event is full. When the airplane has all the seats occupied, we say that the airplane is full. The glass is full, or it could be empty, but the glass is full. You've also heard the phrase full steam ahead. That doesn't mean lacking anything. It means going full bore. If I looked at you and I said, give me your full attention. Some of you didn't hear me say that because you still haven't given me your full attention. As I mentioned in previous sermons and previous messages, I work with four-year-olds and five-year-olds on Wednesday night, and I try to get their full attention. And there's just things that are happening around the world that I don't know why I want to look at Pastor Steve. It's just full attention. Did you receive your full share, or do you have a full deck? These are definitions that we use to describe the word full. What does it mean that God is full? It might be hard for us to understand because we're limited. Can we understand the fullness of God? I contend, yes, we can a little bit, and then I say, no, we can't. God is so large that it's hard to understand his fullness. Grace just comes from him because he is full of grace. Our fullness gives out. We become hungry again. The plane lands. Our cars need to be refueled. We have to stay engaged with people to give them our full attention. God, though, never depletes himself. He is always full. How can this happen? Because he is God. He is self-existent, and he doesn't need any refilling. There's no time that God, I need to go work on my grace a little bit, so I think I'm going to fill myself up. He is always full of grace. That is his nature. All other things need a start or a restart, not God. He is full, and he is full of grace. May you know that if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you serve a full God. He will never be empty. He will never be less than perfect on grace. He does not lack or omit anything. He is full of grace. One has said this, but to receive the fullness of Christ, you must empty yourself of your own fullness. I brought with me a jar this morning. I didn't bring it with me. Somebody else brought it for me to show you that I'm gonna try to show you what it means to fill something up. Okay, so I'm gonna fill my jar up. I have some rocks here. And so I'm going to be a little noisy for a little bit here, so hopefully nobody has a sleeping baby. Oh, wait, Araya's at the hospital, so I'm all good. So I'm going to fill my jar up here with all my rocks. Is everybody still sleeping, or anybody not sleeping yet? So I'm going to fill it up, right? Shake it around here a little bit. Is my jar full? No. You're right. You might have seen this illustration or done this before because I have some smaller rocks. Sorry, Lauren. I'm spilling a little bit here. Probably should have planned this a little different. All right. Now, let's see. Can we move this all around? I don't know that I'm going to get everything in here I want to get in here. All right. Got more rocks. Is my jar full now? You're right. Hold on just a second. I have some sand here. I'm going to try to put my sand in here. I'm probably going to miss a little bit here, but we have a good custodian in our church. Right, Lauren? All right. I'll try to get some more sand in here. Thank you. Well, I'm not going to fill that all up very well, am I? Am I full now? Okay, hold on. I have something else to fill it up, I think. I have some water. Hold on. I have more water. Am I full now? Mostly I am. You could say this represents Jesus' holiness, and the gravel represents Jesus' righteousness, and the sand represents Jesus' love, and the water could represent a number of things. I just want to let you know that Jesus is full. There is not one empty part of him. He is full. And the scripture says that he is full of grace. So let me go to that point next. Number two, Jesus is full of grace. Grace is capitalized here because I want you to understand this. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor shown to us. Other scriptures tell us this. I have a couple of those on the screen. John chapter 1, verse 17, just a couple of verses later. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Psalm 116, verse 5. The Lord is full of grace and righteousness. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is full of grace. Nehemiah 9:17, but you are a God of forgiveness, full of grace and pity. Joel 2:13, for he is full of grace and pity. Exodus 34, verse 6, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. It's not just in the New Testament. Leave those up there for just a moment. It's not just in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament as well. Jesus is full of grace. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, this would be something you just hold on to. And you should just walk out of here saying, thank you so much, Jesus, for your grace. Because we are all born a sinner. Here's one way to look at it that somebody has shared. When a person works an eight-hour day and receives a fair day's pay for his time, that's a wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his performance, that's a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for his long service or high achievements, that is an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, can win no prize, and deserves no award, yet receives such a gift anyway, that is a good picture of God's unmerited favor. It's what we are talking about when it's the grace of God. None of us did anything to merit receiving God's full grace. We are born sinners apart from God, but God's grace reaches to us and saves us from our sins. It is our gift to us from Jesus. Number three, can we be full of grace? I put a question mark here at the end of it because it appears that we can. Jesus is full of grace, but can you and I be full of grace? Martin Luther King Jr. says this, everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. Can you and I be full of grace? In Acts chapter 6, verse 8, Stephen, as he was being stoned, is described this way. He's described that he was, Stephen, full of God's grace. Would others describe you, me, as being full of grace? Or are we not full of grace? The opposite of that. Esther, in Esther chapter 2, verse 17, here's what it says about Esther. Esther was more full of grace than all the other virgins. Huh, it's kind of interesting. And what about our communication with others? Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your conversation be always full of grace. That's an interesting phrase. How is your conversation? I would see it in this way, that it probably means no backbiting, no gossip, no insulting comments, and such. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, catch this. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. Interesting. Not only can we be full of grace, according to what I believe the Bible says, but we can actually excel in grace. Are you each excelling in grace? Now, if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you might look at that passage and you might say, well, he's talking more about generosity and giving, but I think that's part of our giving, is our giving of our grace. Not only can we be full of grace, but we can excel in this. Now, hear me. This doesn't mean that you and I have the fullness of God's grace in our vessels. Don't think that you have all of the fullness of God's grace. You have as much of the fullness of grace that God can give to you. Because God's grace is full, not so full, but full, just full. Doesn't have to be a soul full. He is full. Because he is full, and he's the only one that can be full in grace, you can have grace. The person sitting next to you can be full in grace. The person next to you can be full in grace. We all can be full in grace because he is full of grace. I'm very thankful for that. Whatever your full level is, God can get you his fullness because he never runs out. So I likened it in this way. Did anybody ever own a Ford Festiva? Anybody ever own a, wasn't that a wonderful car? What, anybody else own a Ford Festiva? They owned one? The Lens owned a Ford Festiva? No? Well, two of them. Okay, well. A Ford Festiva has a gas tank of about 10 gallons. Good gas mileage, isn't it, Amber? Yeah, that's a nice thing. But you can only put 10 gallons. You can only go so far. I mean, 10 gallons times 30 miles a gallon or 40 miles a gallon, however far you can get, you can only get so far. A Subaru Forester, that has 16.6 gallons. Some of you might own a Ford F-150. That has a 26-gallon fuel tank. Or maybe you've driven, or I'm assuming most of us have ridden in a school bus, that has about 65 gallons. Now, give or take what size of school bus you have. A charter bus has 250 gallons of fuel. A semi-truck can have up to 300 gallons of fuel. It's a lot of fuel when you stand at the gas tank, Jim Van Squeak, is it not? You sit there and you just go on and go about your business. You've done that before. It's like, it takes a long time to put 300 gallons of fuel in a semi-truck. Or a B-1 bomber contains 2,975 gallons of fuel. I don't know what your fuel tank is like for your grace, but whatever it is, God is enough to fill your grace life. Number four, what is important about Jesus being full of grace? What's important about Jesus being full of grace? I like to think that I'm a grace-filled person. I like to think that I extend grace. However, I also understand that I fall short many times. I lose my patience with people, and then my graceful living kind of runs out. It's like, okay, be done with this. Some of you are a long ways down the road from me. You get exploited, you get taken advantage of, and people stomp all over you, and you continue to exhibit grace. I admire you. People backbite, people complain to you, people are frustrated with you, and you just smile and you just say, God bless you. And you just have so much grace. Why is that? Because I believe God gives you that grace. However, there are some of us in this room that are limited on our extension of grace. And may I encourage each of us to be full of grace. Only the perfect one, the perfect Lamb, is able to be full of grace in our lives. He is perfect for us to receive of His grace. God sent Jesus, who was the perfect one. It does not excuse us, but we need to be asked to be filled by the grace of God. God, would you fill me again with your grace? Not just the saving grace, but the grace that I have to show to others. If you're here this morning and you're atheist or you're agnostic, then you can believe whatever you want to, and you don't have to worry about anything else, because either you don't believe in God or you don't believe that He exists. That's not true. God is existent. But if you subscribe to other religions, then you have to produce something. You have to perform in a way. You've got to measure up, whether it be praying a certain amount of times a day, or praying to a certain God, or being kind in some which way. Not with Christianity. God asks you to accept His grace and then to walk in that grace. Which I think it's very hard for some, maybe many, to accept that He is free with His grace. He is free to give it to you. And many people will say, what? He'll give me of His grace? Like He'll forgive me of my sins? You better believe it. And He gives you that grace. If someone is full of grace, then that grace just exudes from them. Now, some of you have read the passage and you've read the scripture and you're like, Pastor Steve, hold on just for just a moment. The scripture says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Some of you are like, hold on just a second. You're not talking about truth here. I believe this. I believe that God, because He's such a gracious God, that truth just comes alongside of who He is. And I think that when you live a life full of grace and God's grace just comes through you, then truth just exudes from you. An atheist said this, if there is a God, may He prove Himself by striking me dead right now. Nothing happened. And he said this, you see, there is no God. And another around him responded, you've only proved that He is a gracious God. Because Jesus is full of grace, He can give you all the grace that you need. In verse 16 it says, for from His fullness we all have received grace upon grace. You and I receive His grace every day. We received it by being born. We had no choice in it. I wonder who needs God's grace today, and I also wonder who needs to be given grace today. May the fullness of God's grace be evident in your life today. A story is told by Max Lucado in one of his books called No Wonder They Call Him the Savior. And I hope that this encourages you today. There was a young lady and her name was Christina. She lived in a poor Brazilian neighborhood. and she wanted to see the world. She didn't like having to sleep on a pallet on the floor, having just a wash basin and a wood-burning stove. She dreamed of a better life. So one morning, early in the morning, she slipped away, and in so doing, she broke her mother's heart. Her mother was named Maria, and Maria knew what life might possibly be like for her young, attractive daughter. And so Maria hurriedly went to find her daughter. But on the way, she stopped at the drugstore. She spent all she could have spent on a photograph, in a photograph booth, taking pictures of herself. And Maria, the mom, then boarded a bus to Rio de Janeiro to try to find her daughter. She knew Christina had no way of earning money. She also knew her daughter was prideful. And she knew this: when pride meets hunger, a human will do things that before were unthinkable. Maria began her search looking for her daughter. She searched in bars, she searched in hotels, she searched in nightclubs, any place she could find. She went to the mall, and in each place she left her picture taped on a bathroom mirror, a hotel bulletin board, on a phone booth, and on the back of each of her photos she wrote a note. Maria could not find her daughter Christina, and eventually her money ran out, and she needed to return home to her small village without her daughter. A few weeks later, the young lady Christina descended some hotel stairs. Her young face was tired. Her brown eyes no longer danced with youth, but spoke of pain and fear. Her laughter was broken. Her dream had turned into a nightmare. She wanted to go home, but that little village was too far away. But as she reached the bottom of the stairs, she noticed a familiar face. She noticed a picture, and she looked again, and there on the lobby mirror was a picture of her mom. She went over, removed the small photo, and here was written on the back of the photo: "Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. Please come home." Christina did. See, God's grace supersedes everything. Whatever any of us has done, Jesus is full of grace. Our grace falls short, though we're commanded and we're encouraged to be full of grace. God's does not. Jesus is full of grace. I wonder if you are here today and you just need to know of God's grace in your life. You have something that nobody else knows about, or you're far away. Know that Jesus' grace is here for you, to forgive you and to help you. But then I think of some others of us in this room. We need to exude that grace. We're going to have some family gatherings. And maybe there's a Christina in your family. And we want to, in these moments, say, "I told you so." When Jesus says, let's throw a big party. Let's exude grace. Let's excel in this grace thing. And so when we gather around with family, instead of doing this, instead of pointing fingers, may we be the ones that are just gracious. That doesn't mean that we just allow sin to run rampant. That's not what happens. But instead of being ones that point fingers and say, "I told you so," we say, "God is full of grace. He never ends with his grace. And may we be ones that extend grace this Christmas season." Maybe in 2020, Maybe there's just been some things in your life where you just haven't been very gracious. Maybe it's with the kid. Maybe it's with the husband. Maybe it's with the wife. Maybe it's with the in-law. And you just haven't been very gracious. Jesus is full of grace. May you be one that is full of grace as well. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for each one of us. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace that you exude to us. Thank you that you are full of grace. You will never be emptied. You will never need refueling. You have grace, and it's bestowed and is given to each of us. I pray right now, Heavenly Father, in the quietness of this moment, that you would be with somebody here that just needs to understand your grace to a deeper level. Might be somebody here who's been far from you, and yet they want to receive your grace. Thank you that you do not look at him and say, no way, but you say, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So God, extend your grace to someone here this morning. They've been battling with something, and I just pray for your grace to be right in and through their lives. And God, I pray for others in this room who have become hard, who've become judgmental, who have become the ones that have just looked back with a nose turn because of all the events. God, would you just soften each of our hearts, and would you remind us that we need to be full of that grace? Would you refill somebody with that grace this morning that they've just done away with, and they just say no, and they have a judgmental attitude? Help them to say, I will extend grace. God, there are some at our Christmas gatherings that maybe aren't making the best decisions, and we want to give a piece of our mind. I just pray, God, that we wouldn't be that. We would extend grace. And may we be full of your grace. Thank you that your grace is greater than all of our sin. Thank you that your grace is enough. Thank you that you are full of grace. May you fill us, and may we be overflowing with your grace. Thank you for the fullness of your grace today, without which we would be lost. Thank you for your love. Watch over us this Christmas season, and may we exhibit your grace through our lives. And we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.